This is a production of Cornell University.
We're going to go ahead and get started. Call the meeting to order. As you know, today is April 25th. It is 5:33 p.m. I don't know, I just want to give a big thank you to you all. I mean, this is our last official meeting. We'll have probably a business meeting with the new members on, I believe, May the 9th. But just want to thank you guys all for a great year. They can't hear us on Zoom?
Nope.
Oh. Do we have, like, a mic or something? Can you hear us now on Zoom?
Rachel's
yes, okay, cool, all right. So, yeah, no, I'll start over. Just want to thank you all for a great year. It's been a pleasure working with you all, and keep in touch. So with that, we'll move into the roll call.
Okay. Abir Al-Samari. Samuel Bright-Thawney.
Here.
Kate Cram.
Here.
Cody Newell.
Here.
Ruth Epstein.
Here.
Sabrina Graham. Kyle Carnuda.
Here.
David Kent. Alexandra Klusova.
Here.
Genesis Lee.
Here.
Amelia Matthews.
Here.
Parshad Mehta.
Here.
Marina Minnelli.
Here.
Neon Moore. Need more? Andrew Mercer.
Yeah.
Chris O'Connor. Akash Patel.
Here.
Norielis Perez. Damian Sharp.
Here.
Georgia Smiths. Jack Timmons. Josh Washington.
Yep.
Anna Wunsch.
She's here.
Simon Yang.
We can't hear the participants online.
Right. Awesome.
Did we get Chris? Did you
Chris
count?
O'Connor.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Cool.
Anna's
also there.
Mm-hmm.
I guess he's a witness.
Yeah.
Just
did you
hear that?
Did you get Anna too? Just to make sure.
Anna, what's her name?
Wunsch, I think.
Anna,
yeah.
Anna Wunsch.
I did.
Okay. Cool.
Okay.
All right. Awesome. This morning we sent out notices to those members that we talked about last time about unseating, so we are at our two-thirds, and so we're able to pass those charter amendments today. So that's super exciting. Okay, so we can move on to late additions to the agenda. Does anybody have anything they want to add for consideration this evening? Okay. So next we'll move on to the approval of the meeting minutes. Do we actually have the minutes, or I'm not sure if we do.
I think we do. Coral added like three of different meetings.
Oh, to the box?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Okay,
I didn't see that either.
We might just have to wait till next time.
Second.
Yeah, we had a little snappy with that, just a little bit of a backlog. But we are ready.
You're going to have to speak up.
We will move on to Jen's presentation.
Where do we need to be for them to hear?
Close to
probably up here, yeah.
Okay. Where's the mic?
I think that one right there.
Oh, just close to the laptop? Okay, great. So if I don't know of you, I'm Jen Forbes. I'm the director of the Big Red Barn. Preston. So thank you guys for having me tonight. I was supposed to be here a couple weeks ago, but I was sick, so I apologize for that. But it's great to have a couple minutes with you. Before I start actually with what Preston asked me to come for, I did want to put in a plug, and I'm checking the date here. We are hiring in the Big Red Barn, and several positions open, and we need a lot of staff because I have a lot of folks transitioning and leaving. Our applications are due Friday, May 6th. So if anyone has any interest in working in the barn, questions about that, I'm happy to speak with anyone. We have several fellow positions, which are folks that focus on a particular area and do programming around that area, like culture, wellness, social, things like that. And then we also have shift staff who help us run events like TGIF and happy hours and mixers, and the folks that you see working very hard every day in the barn doing their job. Alex is on the barn staff if you want to talk to her about it. I'm just volunteering. I hope that's okay. But also, I'm happy to answer any questions or talk with anyone who may want to see how this might fit into their schedule if they had interest. But what Preston asked me to come here today instead was to talk about some potential upgrades for the barn. So you expressed to me that you all have some additional funding that you might want to spend, and we have plenty at the barn that we could do to improve it, both for programming and for just everyday use when you all come over to use the space, some short-term things and some long-term things. So I put together a list of some of the things that we kind of brainstormed together or that I've had on my wish list for a long time. And I was going to present those to you in order of kind of what is the cheapest for us to do at this point, all the way to what is the most expensive. And I understand that later tonight you all are going to be talking more about if you have interest in passing along funds for the things we're talking about. That's correct? Okay, cool. So does someone have the PowerPoint to pull up that I sent? Oh.
Okay. Here, can I share it with you real quick?
Yeah, I thought you all
done.
Texting it to me.
Oh, no, I'll share it with you on the slides. Shoot it.
Okay, so I'll start with the first item while you guys are getting that pulled up. So if you've ever done any work in the Big Red Barn, you know that we are limited on plugs because of the ancient nature of the building. And so one of the first items on the list is a kind of plug tower that we can wheel around the building and put in any one space where several people can plug in to have laptops charging while they're doing work. And I think that would be particularly valuable for write-in in the mornings when folks are kind of pressed all against the walls to hit any plugs that they can get at. We could use this upstairs, downstairs. I was recently in a training session and they had one, so that's the one that I am showing you guys today because I know that it works and is aesthetically pleasing, is on wheels, and would make sense for our space. So that's the one I have here, and those run $720 each, but we could have about 12, I think about 12 people plugged into one on all four sides. So this would be super helpful. If you could go to the next one, great. So we offer coffee in the mornings for folks to come in during write-in and get free cups of coffee while they're getting work done. If anyone was interested, we could sponsor write-in between now and the end of the semester, which we spend in the graduate school. Jan Allen in particular spends budget from her budget between $800 and $900 a month for folks to be able to take advantage of this. So if you all had interest in treating students, I'd be happy to like make a sign and put it up and let them know that GPSA is a sponsor of this. This is a short-term option, but it's something nice we could offer. We could also offer the option of adding on tea or juice or like iced coffee or whatever you have interest in supporting if you had interest in that one. Okay, do you want to go to the next one? Okay, this is actually Damien's idea. These are umbrellas that attach to our pre-existing picnic tables outside that run off a solar panel on the top and then lights light up underneath the panel on the inside. We have around 9 picnic tables, and later I'm going to talk about requesting more picnic tables. So if we added some picnic tables to the list, we'd have around $1,000 in these if we wanted to purchase one for every table. I'm also fine with purchasing some for some tables, but this would help with shade and in the brighter days.
probably not too much with rain, maybe a bit, but I don't know that they're going to be so huge that you'd sit at that table and not still get wet if it were raining. But this definitely is helpful, and it provides more light outside. When we were running during COVID, like trivia outside and several of our programs outside, we're actually sitting outdoors. This would give us light to do more outside in the darker hours as well. So that's another option. Next, I've been wanting to get planters for a long time to put in front of the door here. If you see, this is when my staff was giving out program supplies. Two planters for either side of the front door. These are just a couple examples of the ones that we would have to get. Brown would charge us for the soil and the plants and maintaining them and watering everything. But these are some of the the planters we would need, because they're self-watering. So we can put water in them, several gallons, and they absorb that, and Grounds would monitor those. But we can't just like pick up something at Lowe's that's going to work and keep everything looking nice. So I'm sure you've seen things like this around campus and businesses in town. So that would run us about $1,300 for two of them and those maintenance fees. Picnic tables, again, we have plenty of these outside of the barn now. I would say we could probably use another five so that both sides have plenty. That would total us about $5,000. And on the next slide, I added the cost. We also have to pay to get them put together by staff that work at Cornell, and I'm estimating that to be around $3,000 if we add in the picnic tables on the next slide. This is where our barbecue grill used to exist outside, and they took that out. So now we have this great overhang, but nothing under it. So I'd like to get the corresponding tables that are rectangular that match our circular tables. They would stand in there permanently, and that would be about three picnic tables we could fit under there. We can pit two, and then I would get an additional one that's accessible to folks that utilize a wheelchair. That would cost us about $4,000, and again, I'd add the assembly of all of the tables. So any amount of tables, any iteration of that would be lovely, just to, again, increase outdoor space for students to use during TGIF warm months when it's really hot in the barn. Okay, next, you know that last year we had tents on both sides of the building. The charge for those was around $7,500 for us to have those up for 7 weeks. The provost office actually covered the cost of those. There was a tent initiative. You probably saw tents all across campus. We didn't pay for those. It was a very lovely gift they gave us. And the person who had those installed for me gave me this amount and said this is what the tent company basically charged if we wanted to replicate that. The ones on the patio side had tables and chairs under them. The ones, if you remember, on the grassy side had tall tables, so people could stand at them, but there wasn't any sitting. Someone moved that table the day I took that picture, but the point is we could do these by themselves. We could put tables under them. So this is a charge for everything you see. If you all wanted to help with tents, we could probably get it down to almost $4,000 if we just took the tents and didn't get the tables and chairs underneath. So that's another option that I forgot to put on the slide, but so you know. Preston also asked, what would it take to get new furniture for the barn? As you know, our furniture is incredibly old. So we have two potential options for furniture for the barn that I had our furniture company mock up. There's pictures here of what they would look like in each of the sections. This is totally flexible, but I wanted to get just a general understanding of what the cost would be. So in this iteration, we have more plastic kind of chairs, tall chairs and short, and then there's some tall tables you'll see along the side upstairs, and then everything downstairs is the short tables, and there's a couple tall tables along that edge. And this is what the chairs would look more like, again, a kind of plastic option. We need chairs that stack so we can move them for events like swing dance, or people want dance floors or large open spaces. And these are all stackable, so they meet that requirement. And the tables are very sturdy so that we can move them easily, and they weigh a lot less than our current very heavy tables. These would be easy to clean, a great addition. We would, you know, be able to change out almost everything in the barn, and I don't think our furniture has been switched out in over 40 years, is the guess that I've heard. We've seen pictures of people utilizing the barn in the 80s, and they're sitting on the same chairs you all are sitting on. When you come to visit. So this is kind of our lower price option, furniture option. Again, if we were to go this route, I would definitely want input and voting from folks on what they like, what they don't like. There's tons of options here, but we wanted to get something that I could share with you all so you could see an option at least. And then, and that's a $33,000 investment. This is kind of the upper edge of the pricing. This is a $55,000 investment. These chairs, as you see for the downstairs area, are going to be cushioned, and the tall chairs as well. This part would be wood, and this part would be vinyl, and then these are the cushioned chairs. Again, stackable. They meet all of the kind of needs that we have in the barn, but it's a little bit more of an upscale look. I wanted something that's going to still maintain like the like old feel of the barn and not something that's incredibly modern. So that's why I think if we were to go this route again, I'd like to get more information out to you all on what things are going to actually look like and get more pictures and more detail. But at this point, since we're just exploring it, I don't have that quite yet, but we could definitely look into that if that's something the group wanted to have input on before they before we move forward. So that's all the stuff that I brought today. Any questions that anybody has I can help with?
Thank you for the presentation.
Kyle, yes.
It's like so great to hear about what's happening at the barn and the plans that you have for it, because I know a lot of you touch base pretty frequently.
Yeah.
This is just a logistical question.
Sure.
Currently, where do you get funding for these kinds of initiatives, and what is preventing you and the barn from using your existing funding structure to finance some of these ideas?
Sure. So some of them we could definitely do, you know, when I have a sense of what our budget looks like toward the end of the year, some of the lower ticket items. But, you know, this is around the time of year that I would know that we had the funding to be able to do that. So some of the lower ticket things we probably could cover. I have to give a budget into my office to express the things I'm interested in spending. And for next year, I've already put in that picnic tables, as a few picnic tables, not this many, for us to do a couple of years. It is a lot cheaper if we order a lot and have them put together, all of them, instead of me having facilities come put together like one a year for many years. That's just the nature of how that works. So we could do some of the lower end ones, but not the higher ticket end. That would just, what I typically do is try to save a certain amount of budget every year so it builds up for things like this. Like, for example, our kegerator, that's a huge purchase, and eventually that will break. That is what happens with appliances. So I squirrel away a little bit every year, knowing that maybe in the next 3 years, that's going to break and we're going to need like $10,000 to get a new one, right? So that's always on my radar, that we have to save for those things, but I wouldn't choose to do it now unless it's like broken, right? So we do have funds for that kind of stuff, knowing that we have to plan for that. And there's several things in the barn that we have to keep in that category, like the iPods we use to swipe your IDs, the popcorn machine, all that stuff that's a little bit more expensive than an everyday amount.
Yeah. And is the funding source, is the funding source the same as how GPSA is funded? Like, is it all coming from, I know in the programming board situation, it's all coming from the student activity fee. So is this funding that you get for the barn and the funding that we get from GPSA that would potentially fund some of these projects, is that all coming from the same place?
But the budget I have, I get some budget from the grad school and then GPSA funds from the student activity fee.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's basically, yeah, I think basically I consider that the same pot of money then, right? Wouldn't you, Preston? Or Andrew somewhere? I think it's kind of, yeah, that's what I would assume, yeah. Mm-hmm. And again, some of these things are not like urgent, we need this minute, but he wanted me to present things to you that would be kind of like our dream list, and this is it. So do I need all these this minute? Like, can we survive without umbrellas? Yeah, we've done it. But if that's but that is but now that you know, like, it's a possibility, and Damien ate under one of those in a restaurant, loved it, like, that would be definitely an upgrade, right? We would definitely benefit from having that, and that would be a nice thing to add, but we're not gonna shut down if we don't have it, right? So it's just nice additions. Yeah.
So you mentioned the solar umbrella thing, so I was a little bit confused about that. So, like, how does it, I guess, really work, but also, like, the funding or the cost of that, just a little bit unclear about that. Like, is it, like, 9,000, you said, or 9, or I was just, like,
so I did the, if you want to go back to that slide, there is these are off of Amazon. There's a price per one unit. They're very well rated. I don't have one personally, but I'm assuming they work well, because they have a lot of stars on Amazon. We could search for a different product, but this one has tons of colors available as well, so we could decide on that. And the solar panel grabs sunlight and powers the lights, so we don't have to get them anywhere near a plug ever. So the idea is if wherever they are on the lawn, they should work as long as they've charged in the sunlight. So I would take these down like in the middle of the really bad winter months. When we have a lot of snow, I would take them down so that they don't get ruined, and we store them and put them back up when it's like the, you know, this kind of weather, bring them back up this spring. So this is a $1,000 given, assuming that we have the 9 picnic tables we have now and assuming that we bought 5 more round ones. So if you all don't want to fund 5 round ones, it, the price would go down, obviously.
So, which, so that thing is what, like what I was also going to ask. So I guess the, my, one of my biggest concerns with the barn is that the lighting is very, like, not the greatest outside. So I was like, it, would this alleviate that? Or
I think this would definitely help in that space right under that table. I'm not sure how strong, you know, these are. We haven't had experience with them. So the other thing we could do is test drive 2 or 3 of them, and if we like them, we could always get more another semester if they work really well. I don't know. Damien's the one who brought it up. Do you remember anything about?
No, I mean I can. I mean I can just speak to them being great. We had them at my undergrad institution, which is actually how I am familiar with these umbrellas. They're at our student center at my undergrad.
Yeah, so I don't have too much information, but this one, 10,000 people ranked it with 4.5 stars. That's why I chose this one. So, I mean, you know, we all do the same thing on Amazon. Like,
yes.
You're trying to find the best thing, and who knows if you did, but this is all the info I can kind of go off of. So if there's another option for them, this is what I found just to price them out, but if other folks have other ideas, I'm happy to listen to those for sure.
Okay, and this is wrong. I'm not trying to, you know, say things are horrible or, like,
yeah, I'm hoping this will help. Yeah, I'm hoping that this would be a helpful piece that would give at least light underneath the individual table people are at. Yeah, and I wouldn't get them for the rectangular tables because they'd be under the overhang. So we're just talking about the 9 circular tables we already have and the 5 that I asked about. Yeah, and then I'll you go next. Yeah, go ahead. Sure. We're actually having a outside lighting problem with one of our electrical boxes that facilities is working on. The front 3 lights were out a while back, and I had them replaced, and they're still not turning on. They're supposed to turn on at dusk, and I was there the other night at like 9, and they still weren't on. So facilities has ordered the parts they're waiting to replace to help with the outdoor lighting with lights we already have that are not turning on. So hopefully that will be fixed soon. I'm thinking within the next week or so. The trivia, was that on the grass side? Yeah, the grassy side. I have to peek. I'm not sure if those are included in the electrical problem we were having. I'll have to ask the facilities, but I can do that and find out for you.
Liz, you got a question?
Yes. Also, apologies for being late, so I'm sorry if I missed the question already being asked. I was curious for the solar umbrella, if you had talked about potential collaboration with the Campus Sustainability Office. I know that they are looking for ways to engage different constituencies on campus, and they don't have a massive budget, but they've offered to, like, support a little bit of the free fairy product campaigns and providing like menstrual cups and reusable pads. And so I feel like this is definitely, especially because they're $1,000, I feel like this is definitely something that they will be down to financially support. And I can connect you with the people over there if that's something that would be helpful.
Yeah, I can connect with my safe sustainability fellows. We work with Kim Anderson in that office. Is that who you track with?
I was going to say either Kim or Sarah by the
sure, yeah. I'm happy to. Yeah. And this is the idea is that I just let you all know about some options. And if you say, listen, let's not fund that, sounds like maybe Jen can work that in some other way. That's totally fine. And any suggestions like this are totally welcome. I'm happy to do that. We hadn't talked about that with them because it literally just came up in our meeting, but I'm happy to explore that. Yeah, that'd be great. And if folks have other ideas for exploring other things that you're looking for at the barn, I'd love to know what those are. You know, somebody mentioned a while back that when you're trying to work, every now and then there are some people that are loud and we really love earplugs, and so we bought earplugs and put them out. Just something, if there's things like that that can be helpful, that enhance your experience at the barn, absolutely let us know.
Cool.
Yeah.
And then I had one other question.
Sure.
So you mentioned purchasing from Amazon, and I've also just like heard you talk about your relationship with facilities. I was curious if there's an avenue of purchasing through facilities and the university approved vendors. I know, again, speaking from the pre-training product perspective, that helped us get a really good rate on all of those products, because, and also helped take an extreme burden off of my end, because I just like partnered with the facilities purchasing people and told them what they wanted, and then they worked with their vendors to find whatever options were best, most applicable, most inexpensive.
Sure, sure.
So just curious.
Yeah, so if we either go this route and you all approve this, we could do that with the Assemblies Office. I know that's who Preston would work with on paying for these items. So I know Gina is on the call, so I've worked with Gina on sorting out how that was going to kind of get paid for. Their approved vendors that they can use are sometimes also vendors that we can use through a Cornell system we have called eShop, where I can order things. And potentially, if you're right, with a bulk rate or something like that, there may be an option for that. I'm not sure if they can get this particular item, but I'm happy to work with them to find out. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, this is something that if you guys don't fund, you know, we probably would try, like I said, maybe test out to give them some time and see, are they falling apart quickly? Is it providing enough light? Do we like the product? And then purchase more for the other tables if we do. Yeah, thank you. I didn't catch everyone's name, but thanks for the question. Sorry. Yeah. Yes.
More of a comment. You mentioned, I guess you're asking for input with the chairs.
Mm-hmm.
So you mentioned also like having, or wanting to keep like the aesthetic of the barn.
Absolutely.
I feel like that is more of a right call in my view as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I told Preston and Damian when we met that that's one thing I want to get a lot of feedback on. Sometimes like a lot of wood in the same exact color is a little overwhelming. So do we want something that matches the walls? Do we want different options? They have plenty of options. This is the company that Cornell uses most for furniture. Dining has used them for their dining units, which means we know that they're hardy and stable and they're gonna hold up for a long time. I don't wanna get something that's gonna fall apart in 3 years, obviously. And they said this is the best as far as durability goes for, you know, an area that's gonna function as a dining unit and a programming space. So I can definitely get you all plenty more options. These were just two examples, so we had a sense of what the difference in price would get you. Yeah, Kyle, yeah.
Maybe a question for the budget holders. But the budget that we have currently, we have a lot of extra money sitting around. What will happen to that budget if we don't spend it this semester? Does it carry over to next year? And they give someone else an opportunity to use it?
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's just like a carryover from like past unspent GPSA money.
Given the historical spending of the GPSA budget, do we have a lot of money left over that we really are struggling to find ways to spend, or is what we have left over something that we historically could spend in a semester?
From what I understand, most of the money that, pretty much all of it, that has kind of been found in this reserve account is stuff that wasn't spent during the COVID years, like when you can't do programming and you're not buying food at events and whatnot, that just like added up over like the 2 years or so. But I think that I'm not sure like, you know, where we'll be at the end of this year as far as like how much money we have left over. But I think this money is better served, like, you know, getting it back out to the community. Like, right, you know, everybody at one point paid for this with the student activity fee, and it doesn't really do everybody any good with it just sitting there. But, I mean, we just kind of approached her because this was an idea of, you know, trying to reach the most amount of graduate students as possible, right? I mean, not everybody goes to the Big Red Barn, but we thought it would be a good place to start as far as, you know, starting these conversations about, like, what do we do with this money? Like, who do we give it to? How do we get it out into the community? But, yeah, so I really, really appreciate that.
Yeah, and I just wanted to add one thing when we were kind of talking about my budget and money from GPSA that I didn't really get to explain before. Our budget fluctuates a lot because we have we do have rental fees for folks that come to use a barn. And when folks book the barn, I don't know if we're going to charge that fee or not until I have some more details on their event. So if Kyle does a program for all graduate students, then they're all invited. It's free. And then if I cannot pronounce your name. I'm sorry. Tell me how you say it.
Malia.
If she does a program and it's like a baby shower for her friend and it has nothing to do with graduate students or the graduate school or any Cornell affiliation, she would pay me a lot of money to use the barn. So in any given semester, I could make a ton of rental income or nothing, and that all impacts how we do programming kind of moving forward. So again, some of these might happen soon if we had a lot of rental income. That's the idea, is that if we're taking space away from graduate professional students and we charge rent, then I can do more improvements to improve the space when they are using it. So I don't know from year to year how much we're going to take in with that to know how many of these I could do out of our own budget. I just wanted to make sure that was clear for folks.
Sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, go ahead.
I do have a question for results. I was just going to add some more context about the GPSA extra budget, in that a couple of years ago, now at the start of COVID, a lot of the money that we have rolled over that had built up over time, that got emptied out to be used for funds to help people with needing to relocate or various emergency COVID funds, just a hardship fund. Historically, I think that there's been a little bit more in the bank than there is right now. That's not to say that's a good thing or a bad thing one way or another, but it was very handy at least to have this large pot of money to be able to make a statement when it was really needed for this one particular thing. And that was a really rare event, but that's just to give a little bit more, well, hopefully a really rare event, but just to give a little bit more context about where things have gone in the past.
So the pop. So did you say they water themselves? That's the first question. And then second, the maintenance fee. Did you say the price includes the maintenance fee? And then how long does that maintenance fee last?
Right. So I did the math based on you all covering the maintenance fee for the first year, and then after that, the barn can pick up that fee. They hold several gallons of water, and then the plant absorbs what it needs when it needs it, and then facilities our grounds crew would check them and rewater them when they need to, when they're doing maintenance in the area anyway, like in the EZ White House Gardens and in the gardens around the barn. All the gardens around the barn are sponsored, like someone donated money to keep them up indefinitely. And so anything like that we want to add, we're responsible for the cost for. So yeah, it would be also, the plants and taking all the dead stuff out and putting new things in as the seasons change and things like that. Yeah, so I could cover that after the first year, establishing them, getting them to start, getting the stuff to get going, and then after that, I'm happy to cover that. And it wouldn't be terrible moving forward. Yeah, go ahead, and then.
I'm Liz.
Liz, yeah.
Sorry.
That's okay.
Okay, so you mentioned that your money or your funding comes from the graduate school and then the graduate student activity fee, and I'm curious if there are plans or have been efforts to reach out to staff faculty and the employees and the faculty senate. I know there's been a lot of conversations, particularly in spaces of young professionals, young faculty and staff members, that there's been a lack of community and spaces to congregate in the Ithaca community for this particular age group. And so I'm curious if there would be a way to, and I also saw someone at the Big Red Barn who was a staff member, and I was like, I didn't know you were allowed to come here. She was like, yeah, we're allowed to come here too. So I'm curious if there is a way to, and maybe this is more broad than what you are presenting to us about,
okay.
But if there is a way to think about presenting programming or even just think about programming in general for the next couple of semesters to also include those constituency groups, so that if you were to make an ask to the faculty senate or the employee assembly, that it would make sense because you're also supporting those young people as well.
Yeah, so our kind of barn, I don't want to say rule, I guess, before I came has always been that faculty, staff, postdocs, and grad students can use our space, and undergrads only if their paid by a grad student, or they're renting the space and they're paying a fee to utilize the space. So they already are utilizing it and welcome, and I actually just got a request, I think last week, from a group of new professionals that is connected through HR. HR has a group of new professionals organization, and they asked if they could utilize the barn for a gathering. And we've had groups like that before. So I didn't specifically reach out to them to say, hey, bring your group over and have them utilize this space. But I try to also be careful about the benefit that you all have in having the space and that, you know, that funding, and not having a ton of other people come and use that to the point where grad students cannot, right? Obviously, you're the first priority, and then after that, if we have space in our calendar and ability to support other groups, we can do that. But to specifically reach out to that group, I have not, but that's a good idea down the road. We don't have an overwhelming amount of faculty staff utilizing it. It's minimal, but it is open to them. Postdocs more than the other two groups, I would say, because they're more in the like age range of this group and act more of this group, I think.
And I can't speak for the faculty and employee assembly and their budgets, but I know that the student assembly is also having this like surplus conversation, and so just thinking about getting funding immediately and it being the end of the year, I don't think it would be a bad idea to reach out to those assemblies and or those constituent groups to ask them for financial assistance, because I'm sure they also have leftover money that they are looking to give.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah.
So let's give one more PowerPoint on the budget thing, because I just want to make sure everyone's here. And just like you were saying, so we make huge strides to build up this money that's kind of accumulated, I think the tech person was saying too. So this money wouldn't come from, correct me if I'm wrong, Preston, but this money wouldn't come from kind of money that was like left over this year. We have a reserve fund that any money that's left over each year goes into, because that money could go back to the university and stays with us. So we have built up a lot of money that's sitting in there. So currently no one has any committee has not gone over on their budgets, no one's requested to use that reserve fund. We also don't have the process in place for using the reserve fund, but that money is sitting there and is up to us how we will use it. And that is not unless funding is bankrupted us really unexpectedly, that money will be there at the end of the year.
All right, any last questions? Okay, all right. Thank you so much, Jim. We really appreciate it.
If anyone has any additional suggestions on improvements, like small or large ticket items, I'd love to know what those are and have those kind of on my radar as I do my planning for the next couple of years on what we're going to spend money on. So if other folks have ideas, feel free to email me and send those along. And if we already have them, well, it's great. And if we don't, then having it added would be helpful. Okay. Thanks.
Given the timeline for the balance of the year, what is the next step for this? Is there like a committee that's working on compiling this recommendation into one recommendation? Okay, go for it.
No, so I actually did that last night. So Resolution 16, of course, like we talked about last time, is to establish that mechanism of drawing down the funds. But then with that resolution and that new mechanism, you have to propose a resolution to draw down the funds. And so I just like threw everything into one resolution that we can parse through and amend if we want. It's not something that we have to do today, but just I thought it might be a good idea to get the ball rolling on this. It's something that we've been talking about since I think September, and it just finally got to it. But yeah.
Historically, all of those sorts of like reaching into the reserve for anything were just sort of ad hoc resolutions.
Okay. Yeah, we were told by Gina that we weren't allowed to touch it unless we created a mechanism. So I wasn't sure.
I think it's not been done very often.
Okay. Gotcha.
So,
thank you.
Right.
Yeah,
thanks.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
All right, so we will move on to our breakout sessions, but kind of before we move into that and discussing the resolutions, does anybody have any like quick questions about those resolutions that we're going to be discussing today?
Can you give us a 30-second rundown? Which resolutions
yeah.
are you looking at? What do you need from us?
Okay, so the first one we will have, we'll probably start with Resolution 10, I think. So that was Damon's resolution again. I think we've discussed that several times about elevating the appropriations chair as the vice president of finance. It keeps Neve's position intact and her committee intact. It just adds her to the executive committee. We also have that reserve fund drawdown mechanism that we've been kind of discussing right now. And then we have Resolution 17, which is quite lengthy, that is amending the election procedures, like we talked about at the end of the last meeting, making it so that the all graduate and professional students elect the members of the GPSA, different from what it is now, where so it's kind of split up, right? So all the professional schools hold internal elections and they appoint members however they see fit based on the charter, but the different divisions in the graduate school, their voting members are like appointed, like there's like a caucus process from current members, so they're not like voted on from outside constituencies. So just to kind of make us run more parallel with the other assemblies, and being a policy student, I feel like it's just not very democratic to have one group that's already in the group decide who gets the, it didn't seem like it was a very inclusive environment with that. Any questions about that? Okay. And then we have Resolution 18, which was also something that we've talked about before, which establishes a financial incentive for the executive committee. We had talked about how when we went to the Ivy Plus Summit in October, that this was a super hot topic among all the other Ivy League GPSA equivalents, and how they were looking at how do you, like, you know, with trying to get people to take these leadership positions, like what do you have to do to make that happen and to make it more equitable, and paying them was kind of the solution to that. So we worked with Dean Bohr and the university and trying to figure out the best way to do that. And so this would establish language within the charter that would make it so that each officer on the executive committee would be paid $500 each semester. So it would be like you would get, it would happen in the summer, and then fall semester, and then spring semester. So three different financial incentive payments. Any questions about that? Yes.
What does that budget currently fund, and how big is it?
So the executive committee budget for this semester, or for this year, was $10,000, and we've just been using it for different initiatives. Like, let's see, we have the brunch next week or this weekend, and then we are doing a end of year TGIF event. We're going to get some upgraded food, and get a band, things like that. We're doing some T-shirts and some cups and different things like that for that event, as well as the different, we've been giving plaques to the voting members, and you guys will get yours and whatnot. So just like different engagement initiatives, we certainly aren't going to spend all of that budget, but it was just kind of there. Ben gave it to us at the beginning of the year, so we were certainly appreciative of it. But, yeah. Kind of, yeah. I think that, we talked to Ben at the beginning of the year, and we're like, okay, we want to try to, increase outside engagement with the GPSA, and he was just kind of like, okay, like, this is, here's some money to do that. So we've been working towards that most of the year. Yeah. Any other questions about that? Okay. So let's see, what time is it? So let's reconvene around 6:35, probably take a little bit to get into the breakout rooms, but we'll reconvene then. I have a lot to... All right, we're going to go ahead and get started again. Got a lot of things to get to, very important stuff. So Damien is going to put up Resolution 10 up on the screen, and we can start with a period for questions and discussion on Resolution 10. Do you want to give a short little blurb on it again?
Sure. So resolution 10.
1 second.
Okay. So resolution 10 establishes a vice president of finance. As mentioned, this doesn't touch the finance committee or the appropriations, the finance commission or the appropriations committee. This simply makes the chairperson of the appropriations committee the vice president of finance and provides that person with a seat on the executive committee. So that is the gist. I will again take questions. We can open it up for discussion.
Anybody have any questions? Any questions online? Sure, yeah. Okay, all right. Okay, so again, this is for voting members. Those in favor, raise your placard and yes, green check mark on Zoom.
Hold on. Can they hear? Yeah, okay.
Maybe we have online.
One.
Just one?
We have more voting members.
Five.
Oh, I just said one.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
I was like, thanks, Cody.
I was like, oh, I didn't. So we had 13 in person, 5 on Zoom, correct?
Yes.
So it passes. So that passes. All right. Wow. That's really exciting. We have made it our first charter change of the year. Wow, it's been a long time coming. So excited. Wow. All right. Okay. So.
Let me stop sharing. I'll reshare the other resolution.
Yeah, so next we'll move on to resolution 16. I don't know, Neve, if you want to give a little blurb about that one, if you can.
Can I?
Yeah.
Okay.
Georgia, go ahead. I don't know if we can hear her or not. How did we not? I don't know if I don't think I amended that. which line was that?
Be it finally resolved.
Okay.
reserves are at least 10% of annual funding received. Is that the line you're talking about, Georgia?
Yeah.
Okay. Always there. Oh yeah.
That seems like a very extreme scenario, wherein I imagine there will be many resolutions.
That's a good point.
So, in the interest of doing what we need to do now,
let them.
Yeah, and then like another key point was this, this was opening it up to not just voting members, but also letting field representatives vote on this too. That was something that I kind of championed for, because I feel like, again, it's like, it's all of our money. We all paid into this pot at some point, and I feel like that is important and should be reflected in the decision and when we vote on these measures. But any more questions? Okay, so all those in favor in the room, raise your placards. Green check marks on Zoom. Five online again.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, awesome. That passes again.
Work done in the last
so minute. Then if we have time later, I drew up that actually resolution 19 that outlines the, you know, what Jen talked about today. If that's something that we're interested in, we can kind of talk about that towards the end of the meeting, if there are measures that we want to fund for the bigger barn this year, or we can just wait until next year. We can let the group next year decide that, but I thought maybe it might be a good idea if you guys are itching to do like a big project, like getting the Big Red Barn, new tables and chairs. It might be good to have a summer to do that. That was kind of the only thought behind the sense of urgency with that. But we can discuss that later tonight. Okay, so now we'll move on to resolution 17. So this took me forever to put together because, you know, the GPSA charter is very complicated, and there are, you know, some parts that counteract other parts, and so just trying to go through and make sure that I captured everything that talks about the election and the responsibilities with that. So I guess like the first thing to note is that, again, like that procedure that GPSA voting members are elected by the current GPSA voting members, and then that new group elects their committee chairs and their officers. So, you know, like what the other assemblies do, I thought it would be a good idea to open it up to the broader community and allow everybody to have a vote and weigh in on the makeup and their own representation of the GPSA. So I can kind of outline this process. So you have the 14 voting members that represent the divisions of the graduate school. So basically, the things that we're wanting to amend is removing the lines that give the voting members the responsibility of electing voting members and officers, and then I can go into kind of the election procedure. So the 14 voting members who represent the divisions of the graduate school, the Masters of Engineering, and then the one at-large master's student who is enrolled in a program administered by the graduate school, those are those ones that are historically elected by current voting members, and so those were, I think, the big ticket items there. So how I kind of laid it out was that the week prior to the second to last regularly scheduled meeting, so that would have been the meeting that we had last week, you would have had a solicitation open up for nominations like we did this time. You know, you send out a broad email to the community that says if you're interested, you know, throw your hat in the ring. And they would also be able to put in a call until the end of that last meeting. So, you know, in the open forum portion of the GPSA meeting, they could also talk about being interested and nominate themselves or nominate somebody else. So then after that, you move into the election period, and this would happen 3 days prior to the last regularly scheduled GPSA meeting. Yes, so 3 days before, and then 1 hour prior to that meeting, you would, you know, you get the, you end the election and get the results, and those results would be announced at that meeting. And the voting takes place on, you know, the Office of the Assembly's email out a link to, like, an elections platform that they use, and I'm not sure, I think they use the same for all the assemblies. I think it's pretty uniform. And then if there are any unfilled seats, those respective programs would have until the second GPSA meeting of the fall to fill those with direct representation. But then after that, it would be opened up as an at-large seat, which is how the procedure stands now. And then again, the professional schools, they just kind of do their own thing. But this was mostly for the 14 voting members who represent the graduate school divisions. And then you move into the officer elections and the committee chairs, and the procedure would be exactly the same as what I just outlined for the voting members. You have the solicitations for nominations, and then you have the online voting period, and then they would be announced at that last meeting, and then there would be a sort of like business meeting with the new members, which is what we'll have on the 9th. And so those new members, we can, you know, talk to them, get them up to speed. We'll have a little presentation, and I've been working on a booklet, kind of like a GPSA, like 101, like all these different things, different people, who does what. That's kind of been a project I've been working on this year, so that people next year kind of have a better sense of what's going on and what is expected of them. I'm trying to think if that was it. Okay, so then also, I kind of took some of the election rules from the SA assembly, you know, just general election integrity, you know, who's eligible to vote, you know, who's a candidate, things like that, and then different making sure that we're compliant with university policies and different student codes of conduct, like no, you can't intimidate your opponents over Twitter, and you can't pay people to vote for you, different things like that. There are also some other things having to do with, like, electronic communications, like you can't receive campaign support through, like, a Cornell administrated listserv, and there's another section on campaign finance, and, you know, you can't spend more than $25 for out-of-pocket expenses at a fair market value, different things like that. And then another important section was endorsements, and this was something that I thought was interesting, how student activity-funded groups were able to endorse candidates, which I don't know if that's something we want to keep in there, but I left it in there for consideration. It might make things interesting. And then there's also some caveats with that, you know, if a member of the elections committee sits on the elections board or the executive board of the governing body of a certain organization, that organization can't endorse candidates. So there's some different. This is, you know, super complicated and in the weeds, but I think that these are all important things that come with an election of this style. And if we, you know, if we don't have things like this, there could be some things that happen that we wish we did. And I think that, you know, we talked with Dean Love about this, and she was very adamant about making sure that we had adequate election rules to make sure that these elections are fair and open and transparent, which is ultimately the whole reason why we're doing this, right? So we want to make sure that if we're doing it, we do it right. So I know I just kind of went on a tangent there, but does anybody have any questions about it? Yeah, sure.
So we could do this this year.
Yes.
It's not too late.
Yes. Yeah, we've kind of outlined it and kind of dragged our feet a little bit with this year's election so that if we, I don't remember the exact calendar, but if we pass this resolution right now, we would be having elections, I think it was the weekend, so not this coming weekend, but it would be the next weekend And then everything would be solidified by May 9th, which will be that business meeting. And then we have to, in that meeting, figure out who our representatives to the University Assembly are going to be. And then that last University Assembly meeting is on May 10th. So just kind of tie everything up with a nice, neat bow at the end. I think we got really lucky here that everything timing-wise has lined up and allowed us to do this. I guess the resolution still has to pass, so. Go ahead.
For the specific divisions, I'm not quite clear if the voting for representatives of the specific divisions open to everyone, or is it just you vote for your division?
Yes, no, that's an important distinction I missed. So we are able, with the data sets that we are given by the registrar, able to parse through the data and so, like, what I understand how the essay does it is, you know, you're a freshman in human ecology, you can vote for the human ecology rep or, like, the freshman rep. So there's ways to, you identify who you are and get a personalized ballot. So you would only be voting for the representative to your division. You don't have to worry about, an MPA student voting for the physical sciences rep. But then everybody would be voting on those committee chairs and then the officers. You would just be voting for your specific division representative, too. Yeah.
Just a comment. The one sort of concern that I have about doing something like this is there are a lot of departments of varying sizes.
Mm-hmm.
The department size.
Sure.
And I worry a little bit about the idea that, of sort of turning it into just a game of numbers where, if you're somebody from who's very interested and very hoping to get involved, that it could be easy for those sorts of voices to get drowned out by, individuals that just a lot more people know because they're in larger. Whereas in the current voting, you're able to ostensibly, everyone who's voting is able to be at the meeting and see who's actually involved,
mm-hmm.
and get a sense of how invested people really are in the organization. And so that avoids, at least for the executive committee, it sort of avoids the idea of missing out on those sort of candidates who are really heavily interested and heavily involved, but maybe just don't have the platform to be recognized as much. So I'm just wondering if you can sort of comment on that, if you've given any thought to that.
Yeah, no, that's definitely something we kind of weighed with this. And I think it's just kind of the nature of the beast. Like, there, as far as, like, the numbers game go, like, there will always be something like that. But at the same time, I feel like it's best to try to widen our net and try to catch as many people out in the community as we can. And I think that for the longest time, like, the GPSA has had this kind of negative connotation that it's almost like a club or something where it's like, you have to know somebody to get in, right? And I think that there's kind of two sides to these arguments, and I'm not really sure, like, how you find that gray area between that. I think that no matter which way you do it, there's always going to be somebody that gets slighted, right? But I definitely think that's a valid concern, but we'd certainly be open to any suggestions on how we would fix that in a structure like this.
Helping us make sure that all of the positions are filled.
Yeah.
And I like that a lot. This issue, over my time in the GPSA, which is, my fifth year of witnessing this process, it's really been something that popped up during. There's always been a handful of spots that have a hard time getting filled, so it'd be really nice to resolve that. But there certainly,
issue of having like really critical roles being filled has only sort of popped up as an issue during COVID.
Sure. Yeah.
Just wanting to make sure that those individuals are people who are really committed to the organization and doing what they want. And, you know, this year has worked out very well because we've been fortunate enough to have some people step in, all of you, and take on these roles and do this. It was great, but it was, you know, it's something that in the past we've had people not as committed step into the roles, and so I worry a little bit about that. And I think I mainly wanted to bring this up so that other people would at least consider this side of things. I'm not saying that I disagree with this amendment. I very much agree with the spirit of it, but I just want people to at least think about this aspect of things.
Sure. Yeah. No. Thank you so much. Sure, yeah, no, that's actually something that we've been trying to figure out, like, technically how to do that. I'm not familiar with the platforms that the Office of Assemblies use to conduct these elections yet, but that was something that we had talked about, you know, making sure, you know, whether we have, like, an open forum for candidates to be able to come in and talk to the GPSA. Yeah. Sure. No, that's a good, yeah, no, I like that comparison. But yeah, we kind of talked about like what we could do to, you know, if you add like a headshot and a blurb or something like that, I think that those are important tools. And I'm hoping we can also kind of create a sense of like community among the GPSA. You know, we've laid out these election rules, and I mean, I think that, word of mouth is important, and if you believe in what your friends are doing and you're willing to endorse them for roles, I think that is super powerful as well, and can kind of fight through that. Liz, go ahead.
Thank you.
even like when I ran for my position, the like debate that was had was like only like 30 people came. So I think there's this like added level or added question of what engagement is going to look like for people who aren't already involved in this group and have this perception of the GPSA is only just a club, if that makes sense. Like I, when we were talking about like pushing the grad professional student elected trustees position, the election dash, one of the reasons that we pushed them back to the fall was so that, you know, people were more excited in the fall, people were more engaged in the fall. But also like for the essay, they have to get 100 signatures, right, or something for it. And I don't know if you could get 100 signatures from grad students because of how separated and kind of isolated some towns are. So I think there would have to be a super intentional recruitment and engagement effort alongside of whatever the election would look like, just to make sure we were getting engagement across the board, so that kind of to mitigate like these concerns about if you were already in the GPSA, then like, how are you going to have to vote?
Sure, yeah, and that, to the point of, like, the petitions, that was something that we deliberately, like, left out of the procedure that's different from the other assemblies, because I, you know, for those small departments like that, I mean, I feel like that's just an unreasonable ask for those petitions. Yeah, go ahead, Damien.
Motion to extend by 20 minutes.
Yeah. Okay. Any more questions? Yeah, Cody, go ahead.
I would wonder what your thoughts would be on making this, rather than making this seeing how this goes for, you know, adoption in the future.
So I will say that the only problem that we're running into this semester due to the kind of lack of time at the end of the year is that we might not be able to use the elections data in a way that we can differentiate between divisions of the graduate school in an election in, like, 2 weeks. It's, you know, kind of a big ask, but, you know, it's an important ask, but it doesn't look like that's going to be able to happen. So if we were to do a trial run this semester, it doesn't sound like it would be a true trial run. So another important thing to consider with that. We will have in the business meeting on May 9th, well, I guess it would be technically a special meeting. We would follow the original GPSA election procedures, and then we would just go from there. So we would, at the end of the day, everybody's going to get elected. We'll make sure of it. We're not just going to roll out and leave everybody hanging. But, yeah, it'll be what it once was, yes. Any other questions?
Motion to call the question.
Okay. All right. So those in favor on Zoom, green check marks, and those in person, raise your placard.
Can they hear you?
Can you hear us on Zoom still? Nobody voted.
Oh, yeah, they can't.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so those on Zoom, we're voting for Resolution 17. So green check mark if you're voting in favor of that resolution. And then those opposed, raise your placard, or I guess is there a red check mark on Zoom? Is there a no? No? And any abstentions? One abstention?
No, Chris already voted. He just said cleared.
Oh, we got one in the room. So what is that? 13 to 0 to 1?
Yeah.
Okay, so it does not pass.
How many do we need?
15.
Okay. All right. All right.
Move on.
You have two people left.
Yeah.
Okay. All right,
let me do the last resolution. Okay.
You want to do this one?
You
want to do this one?
Yeah. So. So this is Resolution 18, Financial Incentive for the Executive Committee. So as Preston mentioned earlier, after the Ivy Plus Summit in October, when we spoke to a lot of our other peer institutions, this was not only a hot topic, but some institutions were already doing this. So we looked at Columbia's process pretty extensively, and we decided in this resolution to match that. And so this would be a recommendation to a resolution to pay the executive committee. So I think this resolution only includes the people who were usually sitting at this table, but would now include the vice president of finance as well, $1,500 annually. But I'll take any questions. A lot going on. Any questions online?
I think Andy had something. He was trying to talk.
Who?
Andrew.
Oh, okay. Andrew, did you have something? Oh, no one can hear you. There we go. Andrew, did you have something? Yeah, we can hear you now, if you go ahead.
Oh, okay, sorry about that. I had to switch off my headphones, I guess. One thing that came up in our breakout room that we just wanted to raise was if there was any language with addressing how this would actually be paid out. That is, know from FCA experience that there can be some tricky tax situations in terms of, you know, distribution of funds from a club to students. And if you guys would be considered, or if, you know, if the executive committee would then be considered employees, there'd have to be some considerations with the amount of hours they were considered to be working per week, being that a lot of assistantships put caps on hours outside of your research or whatever your program is, how much you can work per week. So I was just wondering if there was any additional language to sort of address the actual mechanism and accounting of how this would be paid.
So from what I understand, it all has to do with the lack of clarification and the fact that it is not a stipend, and that is where you get into those situations with taxes and being an employee and whatnot. Is that?
It is not compensation.
Yes.
That's correct.
Yes. Okay.
Andrew, could you hear Dean Bohr okay?
No, I didn't catch that last part.
She said it's important to note that it's not compensation. This is just a financial incentive.
Okay. Yeah, I guess I just wanted to make sure that was accounted for, because I know, like, one of the SC rules that we have to enforce for student clubs, not necessarily because we want to make this rule, but just because it comes down from Cornell higher up, is that clubs can't in any way distribute their student activity fee money to students, whether it be through gifts or gift cards or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't sure where that rule came from and if that would apply in this situation, so just bringing that up for consideration, but that's been thought through.
Great, thank you.
Thank you.
Any more?
Yeah.
Okay. So folks online, green check marks for in favor. Is it?
Yep. Oh, no. Not you.
It's not me. That's just
weird.
Kind of weird.
So let's see, we've got.
Ten in person.
1, 2, 3, 4 online. 5 online.
Woo! Okay, I don't know if you guys are interested, but I texted Neve and Genesis. They are able to zoom back in during their class. If there's a motion to recall the vote on the elections resolution and... Okay, and we can. So it looks like Neve is here.
Yeah. So folks online, we are going to re-vote on Resolution 17, amending the GPS election procedure. Is there a motion to call? Okay. So all in favor, please use your green check marks online. Hold on, Genesis is coming in. We good? You got this?
Nine in person?
1, 2, 3.
Okay, I think I missed somebody.
Yeah. One, two.
No. And there's 5 online.
1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, just
6 online.
I think it's five online. One's not a voting member, I don't believe.
No.
It's okay. All the support we can get.
Okay. All right. So that passes. Is that
yeah.
Yeah. We just need to fix it. So.
Nice job.
Okay, nice job. That was good. Yeah. We got that one. So good. Okay. So we also have the vacancy for student advocacy committee chairperson. If anybody is wanting to.
I'll do it.
Oh, okay. All right.
I'll do it.
In
2 weeks, right?
Yeah. So.
Do I need to get up to say a speech or something?
If you want, if you'd like to introduce yourself to the rest of the assembly and.
I'm in the Master of Management Hospitality. This is my second semester. I want to join the advocacy committee to act on issues of finances, stipend levels, mental and physical health, child care, and the general well-being of all graduate and professional students, and to work in consultation with other students and Cornell Assembly candidates, committees. So please vote for me.
Woo!
We have to do a paper ballot for this. I forgot about that.
Yeah, I guess we do.
Yeah. It's been a while.
Does anybody have any paper? We have to vote via paper ballots for this. So it's a secret ballot. I mean, if you guys are okay with that.
Can we do a public vote? Okay, paper.
Yeah, we might as well do it right if we know that that's how we have to do it. It's okay. No, I mean, if you want.
Hold on. Voting members. Who
what? We're just not gonna do the report. You'll just. Kyle will just give her blurb. It's everybody. Is the clarification
okay,
there?
They are.
I always forget that. No, but this is super important because I know that the student advocacy committee hasn't spent their budget yet, and I think that there could be some initiatives that. I mean, we had a great presentation by Liz a couple weeks ago. Like, there are things that we could give money to.
I don't want to count those things. Maybe operations.
What
I'm waiting on online people. I hope you all can't. Yeah.
I'm not telling those.
Oh, that's fine.
We generally go through let that counting happen in the back while
how many do you have?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, okay, so Kyle has one announcement. I do think we have time for that.
I do. So, chair of the programming committee, I do want to also make a note. I think there may be some confusion. I'm not running for the programming chair again next year.
Okay.
As much as this job has been amazing, I am planning to apply for an externship next spring, which is about from being here and fulfilling my obligations as chair. So, keep those applications open if anyone's interested. The Spring Gala is this Saturday. I know y'all have been kept more praise than most people, despite
the
being
programming
in the DPSA.
Programming.
Has been some concern about ticket access for the DPSA members, who I know are so busy and dedicated to this organization that maybe the application window slipped your mind for when you wanted to go and buy your ticket. That said, we held 50 comp tickets for those who are working directly on the gala. We didn't end up meeting all 50. We have 8 remaining tickets. We can't go over that because of capacity issues, but you should have an email in your inbox that Kate sent. We wanted to come up with a fair way to give access to, again, the GPSA members who work so hard all throughout the year to represent our student body. So if you weren't able to get a ticket and you could want one, please check your inbox and go through that application process. We don't want to risk the link getting too far, so we're pulling names tomorrow with Bailey. And it will be random. To some extent, there may be some waiting based on engagement and participation in not like how often you speak, but how often you attend the actual GPSA function. Just again, to keep it fair. So that will be happening tomorrow afternoon. So please don't forget, this is your last chance. I don't want any angry emails. And then also, if you have any questions about Gala or about this ticketing process in particular, please let me know. Feel free to reach out to me directly. Y'all should have an email. And if not, you can email the exec committee and get in touch with me. We're really excited. It's going to be awesome. We sold out so fast.
Go ahead. Hit something.
For the executive committee?
Yeah.
No, we have nothing. But no, hats off to Kyle and the programming committee for pulling off such a large scale event. So congratulations.
Okay, so before we head out, I have one last thing. We're go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Currently, the deadline is May 1st for nominations. And I'm trying to get out more announcements, but it's been out there. We definitely need more nominations, or we encourage more nominations because we don't need more. I encourage people to spread the word, and
how do I make a nomination?
Oh, there's a link that I think I'm happy to send you the information, but also there's a link in the last QBSA announcement. There's probably going to be more links hitting inboxes all across campus this week. I bet you if you like Google GBSA Faculty Awards, you'll find our website. It's a Google site. But I'm happy to send it to you.
Okay, awesome. And then I also want to make sure, I forgot to mention in the last meeting, we have that little kind of celebratory brunch on the afternoon after the gala. I had sent that email out. A lot of you registered. I just want to make sure that nobody slipped through the cracks that wanted to go. It's open to, you know, all members of the GPSA committee members, voting members, field members. So if you didn't register and you want to go, feel free to email me and we'll get you on the list. But again, thank you guys so much for a great year. I guess we'll have a special meeting on the 9th, which will kind of act as a business meeting. It's not going to be an official meeting. You guys are welcome to come meet the new board, but if not, enjoy the. What's that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We had 19 in favor, and I didn't see any opposed. So, congratulations. I completely forgot about that. Okay. All right. Well, we'll see you guys soon.
This has been a production of Cornell University.
on the web at cornell.edu.